Hello, welcome to the debate. I'm Kovit Akhbayi. Ukraine's ousted President Viktor Yanukovych has spoken from Russia. Among the key points that he made in his reaction to the events in his country, he said he still saw himself as the Ukrainian president and as such believed that Crimea must remain part of Ukraine, even though he would not run for the May presidential elections. He also blasted the West for allegedly betraying a February 21 agreement between the government and the opposition. Meanwhile, in Crimea, where the Russian Navy fleet is located, it was noted that concurrent to the May presidential elections in Ukraine, Crimea would hold a referendum on its future status, whether it will remain part of Ukraine or will join Russia. What would NATO's reaction be, who has warned it considered Ukraine's future to be key to the Euro-Atlantic security and assured the new government there in Kiev that the alliance would back its sovereignty? Those questions and more we're going to be asking our guests in this edition of the debate. Let me introduce them. Author and geopolitical analyst Mehdi Daryush Nizamuraya joins us from Ottawa. We have senior fellow and director at the Hudson Institute, Richard Weitz, who joins us from Washington. Gentlemen, welcome. Richard Weitz, let me start with you. Yanukovych has spoken from Russia. One key question, does he have an audience?
That's a good point. Until this last presentation, there was a general feeling that Russia had pretty much washed their hands of him as being an ineffective leader. It does not look like the opposition, which is large in Ukraine, to breaking with Russia or moving to the West, is being driven by what he says or what he's doing. It's more a response of longstanding concerns of many Ukrainians to remain close to Russia, as opposed to others who are more inclined to move close to the West. I don't think he's reflecting this division, but he's not causing it.
Well, when he spoke, Mehdi Daryush Nizamuraya, do you think it was him talking or actually the Russian president? For example, when he said that the southern region of Crimea should remain part of Ukraine, but also enjoy autonomy.
No, I think he's talking for the constituents in the Crimean Peninsula and the eastern part of Ukraine, as well as the southern part of the country. I want to make something very clear from the get-go about the ousted president of Ukraine, who's presently in Russia. This is not a pro-Russian man. The party he's from is not a pro-Russian party. Anything that portrays the Party of Regions as a pro-Russian party or a Russian satellite is misleading or grossly misinformed information. In fact, it was this current president, while he was prime minister, that was working for cooperation with NATO. So this president is actually speaking on behalf of himself and as well as a significant amount of the Ukrainian population. We can't think that that the entire population of Ukraine is against this man, because a significant amount of the population in the east and the south is against the people who've taken over in Kiev, the opposition parties.
Richard Weitz, do you agree with that, that Yanukovych is not pro-Russian?
Yes, I mean, I think that confusion sometimes arises in that we have to make a distinction between Russia and Russian citizens and ethnic Russians and Russian-speaking people in Ukraine who are Ukrainian citizens. The Russian, his party gets more support from the ethnic Slavs that are Russian-speaking than they do from those in Western Ukraine, which are more inclined to use Ukrainian language, for example. I think that is a legitimate distinction. But as our colleague pointed out, it's incorrect to say that he's a Russian puppet. He, for a while, there was some concerns because of a deal he made over the Black Sea and so on. But no, he's been fairly cooperative with NATO and other areas. So I would concur with the general conclusion of our previous speaker.
You know, there's a confusion there, Mr. Nizamuraya, about the ex-president Yanukovych when he, time and again, during his statements there today in the press conference, he time and again said that the power was stolen by what he called a bunch of radicals and also pro-fascist mobs, another adjective that he used. And he called on the conflicting sides there in Ukraine to dump the new authorities before it is too late. Now, if you remember, before the latest protest broke out that led to him leaving the country, he had entered an agreement with them. So why would he call them this now, when back then he had entered an agreement with them? Of course, Russia, as a mediator there, was present, along with the EU officials.
Well, that agreement, I think, was made to legitimize a coup. Essentially, opposition, what they've done, whether you agree with them or not, whether they have popular support or not, what they've done is unconstitutional. What they've done in the Ukrainian Rada, like, for instance, they appointed an acting president before the president was even impeached in the Rada, is unconstitutional. And it can very properly be described as a coup. He was trying to consolidate the situation and to bring the fire from, right, the temperatures down in Ukraine, and that's why he made the agreement. But what he's saying now, obviously there's a political motivation behind it, but that doesn't mean it's not true. That doesn't mean that there aren't militias on the opposition side that have taken over government buildings, that have used violence, that have threatened ethnic Russians or Jews in the country. I'd like to point out that one of the opposition parties there is tied with to Nazi views, supports the people in Western Ukraine who supported the Nazis during World War II. It's very accurate. It's accurate what he's saying, even though there is a political motivation behind his statements.
How much popularity do you think they have? How much of the Ukrainians actually are composed who actually follow them?
Are you talking about the neo-Nazis in
yes.
Ukraine or
yes.
the opposition?
The neo-Nazis.
Well, in parliament, the neo-Nazis and the opposition form a significant amount of seats. There's also other ultra nationalist parties that have leanings towards or sympathy towards Nazi thoughts that are outside of parliament as well. So I would say that you can look at the parliamentary amount of seats as well as supporters within the protests. And I won't say all the protesters are neo-Nazis, and say that at least 15% of the population supports these groups.
Yeah, see, this doesn't read, though, with all due respect, and I'm going to ask this from Richard Weiss, these neo-Nazis and nationalists whom are against their claims that are in the half seats along with the opposition, because these neo-Nazis are the same ones that said, we do not want to have any outside interference. But I'd like to take a look, Richard Weiss, of what happened after this agreement that was made, because today Yanukovych blasted the West. He said allegedly that this February 21 agreement between the government and the opposition, well, it was influenced and intervened. It was an intervention by the West. Now, how could that have happened if it was the EU three ministers who were present during that agreement, and then afterwards we saw the protests continue, and then eventually Yanukovych leaving the country?